broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for June 30th in the year of our Lord, 2020. The goal, to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God and family and country in the traditions of our founding fathers, ladies and gentlemen. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Kurt Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Dude, if you haven't heard, Kurt Crosby is upgrading his honey delivery service. He's known as the Honeyman, localhoneyman.com on the internet. That's localhoneyman.com. And he spends his time oftentimes at, like, farmer's markets. And he's got several favorite, locations where he sets up a little honey stand where he sells raw honey and several other products. Anyway, I bring this up because for Father's Day, he got an upgraded rig from his loving family, 11 children. They can do a lot, you know. Anyway, they put together this incredible truck and trailer solution. So now the Honeyman has got the Honey Hut is what's going on. It's almost like a food truck for honey and other goods. Anyway, the reason that I bring this up, Kurt, is there is a group. I don't know if you know anything about this group, but I want to tell you about it because it might be something for you. Okay? It's called the Food Truck League. Do you know about this, Kurt?
Yeah, I was just emailing them.
All right. Anyway, the Food Truck League, I've been doing a little bit of research on these people because I kind of dig the concept of food trucks. Yeah. Anyway, it says, are you looking to hire or rent a food truck for your next event? You can go to Utah's largest platform of food trucks with over 100 food trucks and countless, quote, gourmet options. After helping you pick the perfect truck for your event, anyway, they customize and coordinate all the event details to ensure you have an incredible experience. Anyway, what makes the Food Truck League the number one source for food truck catering? They say we, quote, vet and track the performance of all of Utah's most popular food trucks so we can schedule and book the highest quality, the most reliable trucks for your catered event. When you work with the Food Truck League, you work with a local Utah business that knows all the hired trucks personally. Anyway, it goes on. And I bring it up really not to focus on the Food Truck League so much, although, you know, I want people to know there are good people doing some pretty cool stuff. So it's the foodtruckleague.com, and they do a tremendous job. And I think about that, and food trucks, I know they've been around for several years, don't misunderstand me, but in the way of things, they're a pretty new, innovative concept, right? With more capable vehicles all the time. You know, you've got these food trucks that appear. They can deliver food less expensively, very unique foods that may not be able to sustain the overhead of a full restaurant. They've got niche foods. They've got foods that may be, let's say a chef has new foods to bring or new ideas to bring to the market that haven't been vetted, so you don't want the overhead of a big restaurant. You know, all kinds of cool things. And I've been researching food trucks a little bit. The margins are higher for food truck folks than they are for the overhead of a restaurant, too. Which what that means is, you know, they say starting a restaurant is a very risky business indeed, right? Anyway, I bring this up because it takes a lot of the risk out of it. And a lot of fresh ideas can come to the table. Anyway, the reason that I bring it up is because this food truck league that's primarily been focused on food, they're branching out into desserts and other things. And so pretty soon you might have food trucks and then there'll be all kinds of support trucks available where you might buy herbs and honey and, nuts and different foods and different things that are harder to get otherwise. They might just be in your area. Anyway, it's pretty cool. And Kurt might join the Food Truck League. I don't know. I don't know how broad the food truck discussions become. But it's certainly folks that you could hang out with and probably do quite well is why I bring it up. Now, if you're local, look for the Honey Hut.
Well,
if you're not, then go to localhoneyman.com or on Facebook you can find it. Or if you simply want to do the old-fashioned way, you can get a hold of Kurt. That's CURT at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211. You can text or call or, you know, whatever suits your fancy. 801-669-2211. That was not meant to be a huge advertisement, Kurt, although it was meant for education and, what do they call that when it's education and advertisement together?
Yeah, they call it useful.
Yeah, useful. Okay, I like that. Good.
Edutainment. Yeah, there you go. You know, and one thing that I will throw in when I was in South America for a couple of years as a missionary for my church, I learned that the way they would do it, Sam, rather than have these...
And when you say they, you're talking about the natives in this country, right?
The people there,
sure.
The way they would get their food is they didn't have large supermarkets. They had basically people who would come to their neighborhood weekly and basically just kind of take over the street. You know, so they'd shut down a street section there, and then you'd go out and you'd do your... you know, weekly shopping right there.
And when you say shut it down, I want to be very careful there, too. They would reassign it for a temporary different purpose. It wasn't really shut down. What I mean by that is you couldn't use it for your normal traffic, but it wasn't like a hostile shutdown or anything like that. It was, it's designated times to use this for a different purpose. Everybody knew it. Everybody understood it. Everybody knew that it was coming. Everybody appreciated it and used that time for this purpose, right? So it was planned and orchestrated and organized in a meaningful way. And I think reallocating of spaces for those purposes is a wise move, Kurt.
Well, and just imagine, you know, in the efforts that we are making, I think you're seeing this move more and more to connect the consumer to the actual producer. You know, you could see this food truck league kind of idea, you know, expand like you mentioned about other things, you know, and people could be basically delivered maybe tomatoes, apples, peaches, whatever, you know, the people had locally, you know, meats, you know, that kind of thing. And you just know, hey, you go to the town park once a week and they're there. Now, the things that are going to really be opposed to this, Sam, or, you know, your big, you know, standard kind of big grocer kind of things, because, of course, this would change that quite a bit, right?
Yes, for sure, and they're going to oppose it or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think people are going to gravitate towards unique solutions. And when we talk about eventually the environmentalists, you know, really standing up for what they believe, pretty soon you're going to have more and more and more of this local food, I don't know what you want to call it, availability. You're not going to, this idea that you're going to get food from all around the world is going to be less and less and less. Sure, there'll still be imports, and there'll still be, you know, I'm not saying that it'll completely change the face, but as, you know, you got to wear a mask to go into a store, you're going to go, you know what, I'll meet my buddy on the street, Kurt Crosby, and get my honey there. I'll meet my food truck other guy or my whatever other guy. You know, in the olden days too, Kurt, they used to have people that were traveling salesmen. And what were those things they had called? There's a term for it. But they would come into your town and they would have a ton of stuff. Oh, what's it called? Oh, man.
You know I don't remember that, but, well, I mean, I can't remember the name. I know that people would come in and you'd be grateful to see them because, you know, you really didn't get that in your local town. And, you know, it's a great way to deliver things. And a lot of times I think you can identify with somebody who's hey, they're a small business person. They're very careful about the products they bring because, you know, they're, what would you say, their, you know, success depends on good quality. And if they don't do you a good job, they won't be, when they come back, you're not going to be there.
That's right. So anyway, I find the whole concept fascinating. And I find as society changing, people are looking for more outdoor venues, right?
Well, yeah, you mentioned the whole, you know, don't want to go, like, for me, you know, Costco says I've got to go in there with a mask on.
Now, you know what I did about that, right?
I'm out, you know. What did you do, Sam?
Well, I canceled my Costco membership, and I went to Sam's Club because they don't require masks.
Oh, that's a great, good point.
Yeah. So I literally did. I canceled my Costco membership, and I got a Sam's Club membership instead.
Very good. Yeah, that's a good option. I didn't even think of that.
Well, it's just my way of trying to let them know my displeasure. Now, I don't have a problem if people want to wear masks, Kurt. I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
You choose to wear them. And I'm okay with the encouraging of wearing a mask, too. So if you own a business and you say, I really would like you to wear masks in here, it's just our preference, I get that, and I'd try to be respectful. But when you mandate something, now you could say, Sam, it's their private property. They can mandate if they want to. I agree. I couldn't agree more. But I also have the right to take my money elsewhere, too.
That's exactly right.
Okay, it's known as a peddler, Kurt. I'm sorry. The name just slipped my mind, okay? An old traveling salesman was known as a peddler. And so the peddler would come to town with goods and services, and they'd say, oh, my gosh, I've been looking for cinnamon for quite some time. Do you have cinnamon? And they'd be like, oh, yes, I do. And, oh, wonderful. And okay.
Great point.
Anyway, I'd like to bring back some of that old style. And I think there are folks actually doing it, ladies and gentlemen. This isn't pretend. We're beyond the fantasy peddler idea. It's happening all over the country. And I'm delighted about it. We're the environmentalists when you need them, huh?
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win. They lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheepherder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine.
So they were called peddlers. Sometimes they were also called street vendors, Kurt. And we're seeing this kind of old school idea come back in modern twist ways, if you will. Let me explain. So in the past, what would happen, I don't know if you know, Kurt, they'd have traveling shows. Like they'd bring the circus to your town or they'd have somebody doing something. And what they'd do is they'd have drummers precede them. And the drummers would beat on the drums and come through your town and say, hey, man, the entertainment's a-coming. And then people would basically, you know, adjust their lives and go check out the entertainment. And stuff like that. Anyway, I bring all this up to say we don't need drummers in modern day. You can download the Food Truck League app. It's a little different. Or you can go to the website and type in and get a schedule of where the food trucks will be. And they literally have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday locations that many of these trucks will be at. And you can plan your life and go, hey, I want to go to the food trucks this Friday. It'll be kind of fun. And so you go. And it's a modern day twist on this very important idea of a street vendor or street peddler idea. And I think it's coming back. And it's kind of a farmer's market brought to you in many ways. And I think what we're doing is bringing back this old concept in modern ways, using modern technology that even makes it 10 times more viable than it ever was, in my opinion. And I find it a fascinating idea. And I think there's going to be more of it, Kurt. Especially for things that you can't get normally. Okay, so the peddler on the street might have MAGA hats, right, Kurt? Make America Great Again hats?
Good point,
Or they might have...
Those are a little difficult to find at Target.
I heard that. That's what I'm talking about, see?
Seems like they're just out of those, you know?
Yeah, there's just too much demand for them. There is demand. I just think they're not willing to fulfill that demand. They kind of feel like if they're out of sight, they're out of mind. First off, you need to wear your mask. And secondly, how dare you talk about the Donald or we'll kick you out of here.
That's right.
See, now they don't like to refer to President Trump the way we would. They want to call him the Donald and they want to just, you know, act like he's a nobody.
Good point.
But ladies and gentlemen, as more and more people, now there's also another company you probably haven't heard of, Kurt, that I think is delightful that makes this point. You ever heard of the Root Beer Store?
No.
Okay, it's really cool. There's a store that's not too far from me, and they sell memberships if you want to become a member, and I became a member to support the effort. And they sell root beer and other soda pops, like custom or what are they called? What's the word? Not premier. What's the word for something? Oh, gourmet is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Okay, and so they got these.
Or as we say in the country, gourmet.
Yeah, that's right. Kurt's at the buffet, eat his gourmet food. I am with you. Anyway, right. So these food or root beer store, they sell all kinds of specialty and gourmet soda pops and stuff like that. Anyway, they have over 100 kinds of root beer, Kurt.
100 kinds? That's
over 100.
Wow.
And they have all kinds, and you would say, how could you do 100 kinds of root beer? Well, you got to understand it. Some root beer is infused with cinnamon.
Uh-huh.
Some with cloves. Some's made with honey.
Huh.
Some's made with, you know, what's that extract called? Stevia extract? Yeah, stevia extract.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, there's all kinds of different ones. Some taste like watermelon root beer, and some taste like cinnamon root beer, and some taste like cloves and root beer. And anyway, there's all these different flavors. Some is brewed, and others is made. And anyway, there's just so many. Some is called butterscotch root beer, where it tastes like root beer, but it's butterscotch tasting. Right?
Huh. Yeah.
Anyway, I bring that up because that's what you call a specialty store, a vertical market store or whatever, and I think there's going to be more of those kinds of things.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Very interesting.
Anyway, I digress on the topic, but I think it's worthy of discussion. And the most important piece of this that I think is worthy of discussion is where are the environmentalists, Kurt? If I can get local goods and services, wouldn't you think they'd be asking for that more than anybody? Wouldn't they the guy to be like, hey, man, why don't you get your milk from the local farmer that you know, in the morning he's milking his cows and in the afternoon he's got the moo truck or whatever, you know, and this guy's got cheese and milk and buttermilk, for those who even know what that is. See, I grew up drinking buttermilk. My kids think it's gross, but I think it's actually kind of good. But anyway, I digress. I'm just telling you that this kind of stuff, or hey, you know what? This guy's got cheese, and this guy's got milk, and this guy's got chocolate milk or whatever. And okay, this other guy's got honey and other goods and services. And, you know, hey, this guy. And you start to fund people's businesses. Okay, and we've been told forever that the small business is the heart and soul of America. I agree with that. But you know what? So many of these businesses are melting down right now. They're going away because big government just says, hey, you can't meet with them. When you can't buy honey on the street from Kurt, what are you thinking? You got to buy honey from some big old corporation and ship it hundreds of miles. And it isn't true, folks. It isn't true at all. In fact, you can get the best honey or the best food or the whatever the peddler might have today locally. And you don't got to ship your onions like 1,000 miles. You don't got to do that at all. Now, I get once in a while in certain locales that you might want to import things. You know, I don't think we're doing too well with oranges in the middle of winter, for instance.
Good point.
So, you know, I'm not saying, but we that is the time for, right before the winter hits hard, that's the time for potatoes, right?
Yep.
Okay, so all I'm kind of bringing up is that there are seasons to things. And it's okay to eat things in their seasons, in fact, encouraged. But all I'm saying is, I'm not saying that there should be no broader trade, because there should be. But it would be unique situations, not the go-to. I don't live next to a farmer who has potatoes, and he ships his potatoes to Guatemala so I can get my potatoes from Mexico. It doesn't make any sense. Why don't I get my potatoes from my neighbor, and why doesn't the Mexican guy get his potatoes from his neighbor, and why doesn't the Guatemalan get their potatoes from the neighbor? And, you know, the things that we really can't get for whatever reason, by all means, we can create a broader trade net to take care of those issues. But why not have as little a travel and as local of products and services and produce and as we possibly can get? You would think the environmentalist, Kurt, would be all over my idea. Wouldn't you, Kurt?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, where except are they, man? Whenever I look back, they're not even near me and stuff. They're like, I don't want to be near this political wacko. But don't they believe that's in what right. I'm saying, Kurt?
Well, they sure as heck should. Yeah, that's right.
All right, so then they tell you there's a meat shortage.
Good point.
But what if you go to your local cow guy?
That's right.
I mean, you know, he's like, hey, well, I can plan to, you know, package a cow for you. I'm trying to put it in the language that Americans can understand when it's on their dinner table, right, Kurt?
Yes, sir.
And I don't want to talk about hanging the meat from the hooks for 14 days and let the blood drain out and stuff like that, do I? I'm just saying, that's what happens.
Good point.
If you want to know how it really works, you got to let the meat cure and stuff. You can't just, you know, down the cow with your bullet today and eat in a half hour. Well, you can if you don't mind the Rock Hill kind of deal. I'm not saying it's not possible to do. I'm just saying when you got the average person looking at meat in the stores and it's packaged and there's very little blood and everything else, that's because there's a lot of process that goes into that. There's a lot of, let me say this carefully, local work that goes on. You'd say, well, no, Sam, it's not local work, buddy. You're right. That's what I'm getting at. It should be local work, though. Why isn't it local work? Why would we take 1,000 pounds of meat and ship it across the country? We've got refrigeration questions. We've got longevity questions or storability questions. We've got all kinds of complications. Is that even necessary to do? I submit the answer is no. It isn't necessary to do at all. In fact, it would be much better not to do that. Because listen carefully to me, and I might just be ignorant on this, and Kurt can straighten me out because he's the food guy. He's the knowledgeable guy about nutrition and all that kind of stuff. But in my mind, if a cow eats local grass and or local hay or you know, if it's just grass-fed or whatever else, and, you know, when it gets done, and then they get the meat from it, and I eat the meat, there are natural eco-processes that make the food tailored to my needs in my locale, whether it comes to the ability to have a great immune system so I don't have allergies, to all kinds of things. And when you take food that's grown in one place and completely change its locale for consumption, you lose a lot of that eco benefit. I don't know what words to use to describe what I'm getting at here, Kurt. You might know the better words to use for this. But what I'm saying is there's some value in this to say, hey, all the local things that go into my honey are going to be the local things that are going to help me fight so that I can handle the allergens in my area, and et cetera, to where, hey, it doesn't affect me. But when you just move food all around the world and stuff like that, you lose that edge of that ecosphere that you're in. It happens nutritionally. It happens with relation to strengthening your immune system and the fight off agents. I don't know what better words to use. The problem is if you use these complicated scientific terms, then you won't even know what we're talking about either. But all I'm telling you is there's some real value here that we're missing. Not to mention the obvious value of caring for the environment. So maybe these whacked out global warming nuts aren't environmentalists at all. Maybe guys like me who believe God created the earth and we've been given stewardship over it, we need to care for it. Maybe I'm the real environmentalist. What do you say to that, folks? All right, Kurt will straighten me out in seconds. Hang tight.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Yeah. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Several U.S. states continue to put reopening plans on hold as the coronavirus continues to surge again across the country. In Arizona, Texas, and parts of California, bars have now been ordered to close again. And in Florida, beaches in Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and Palm Beach were ordered off limits for the upcoming 4th of July holiday weekend. Leading congressional Republicans say U.S. intelligence agencies do have info on a reported Russian plot aimed at killing American troops in Afghanistan, but the GOP lawmakers say that any U.S. response needs to wait until the intelligence agencies have reviewed all of the material. Some current and former intel officials have said that they're familiar with reports of Russia offering bounties to kill U.S. and allied forces. And this is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root for the Magamall. TheMagamall.com. The Magamall is your one-stop online shopping mall for great MAGA and Trump caps, t-shirts, flags, face masks, coins, jewelry, and other products. They even have MAGA cowboy hats. They pride themselves in offering the largest selection of the finest quality MAGA caps on the market at the most competitive prices, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. The vast majority of the MAGA caps available on the market today are pure junk. The MAGA Mall caps are made from premium cotton with the finest embroidery. Everything on their caps is embroidered. Every star and every stripe, the presidential seal, even the president's signature. When you purchase a cap from the MAGA Mall, you can rest assured you're buying the finest MAGA cap made. They have Rolls Royce caps at Chevrolet prices. Get 10% off your order. Use promo code WAR10. That's WAR10 at checkout for the highest quality MAGA products. Go to themagamall.com. That's the, T-H-E, MAGA, M-A-G-A, Mall, M-A-L-L.com. TheMagaMall.com.
We told you earlier how COVID-19 is spiking in a number of U.S. states, one of them Florida. The governor there, Ron DeSantis, says younger people are getting a lot of the cases lately and then spreading them to others.
He had so many examples where those guidelines were just tossed aside. And in the instances where we've seen outbreaks tied to establishments like that, it has invariably been because they packed so many people in and created the type of environment that we're trying to avoid.
Another large earthquake has rattled western Nevada, as the U.S. Geological Survey says. The magnitude 5.1 quake struck 18 miles north of the town of Mina overnight. Mina is about 4 hours northwest of Las Vegas. There are no preliminary reports of injuries or damage. Last month, a magnitude 6.4 earthquake hit western Nevada. And this is USA Radio News.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know, one of the things that made me think of when Sam was talking about this whole idea of buying locally, you know, getting it from people that you knew, and you know, if we took this idea of the food truck idea a little further, and you know, at your local city park or wherever in your town, they just show up weekly, and you'd go there to get these different items. That at least I believe this would encourage, you know, the local businesses, and you could begin to, I guess you could say, I mean, we've seen the problems with these big mall kind of operations, in that they take huge amounts of space. They are typically big corporations that are only the players. Most of the time, they're only the players there, at least the big players. So then it pretty much takes the local guy kind of out of the mix. Whereas if you did this kind of thing like Sam was talking about, then you know, instead of seeing maybe something from, China or India or whatever, you might see something from your, you know, little town next door, that somebody created, and it wouldn't have to be, shipped across the ocean to get to you, you know, and you could actually, eliminate all that quote shipping and all that maybe, harm to the environment, if you will. And at the same time, you know, the local money spent continues to help local economies as well. Sam, kind of the old, like the, what was our pals at the Utica Hours, or, you know, some of those guys, those plans,
yeah, it's
where
Ithaca
they would.
Hours.
Ithaca, that's
right. But it's
right.
In Utica, I think, right?
That's right. Anyway, or maybe it's close to there, but yeah. They would spend money on their local economy, and then it would help their local economy, and you know, that's part of the whole make it in the USA kind of idea or whatever. So anyway, maybe does that cover what you were?
Yes,
wanting
indeed.
To go over,
environmentally speaking, though, that, you know what? Why wouldn't they advocate for this, though? The less fuel that it takes, and the less environmental toxins, the less trucking, the less trains, or the less, you know, slow boat to China, pardon the phrase, or whatever, the less transport, and the less, you know, you would think that overall it would be just welcomed. And all right, so that's from an environmental point of view. The last point on that is, what about this idea about this natural immunity that you get when you have, you know, the cows eating the local stuff, and then the, you know, you eat the meat of the cows, and or the, you know, the honey, the bees use the local pollens, and then you get that in your food. And I think there's an ecosystem of immune boosting strength that happens that gets circumvented with this travel food plan too.
Well, at least I'll say this about that. I don't know about how local beef would actually help your immune system or whatever, but it seemed to me like the key thing there is you'd know the farmer. You'd be able to say, hey, what do you do? I mean, do you use hormones? Do you, feed your animals these things that I don't really want? Like, for example, in my case, the reason we support the beekeepers that we do, they literally try to avoid all that they can of giving the bees sugar, corn syrup, or candy, that kind of thing, to survive the winter. And the way they do that is they literally move the bees to places that are, you know, a lot safer for them, and they'll get honeys from those places because they have moved the bees to where there's food sources for them, rather than our good buddy right now literally tells me about his work that he does, where he's having to bust up big chunks of candy and stick it in with the hives. And I mean, I tell people, look, we got 24 grandkids. I don't really want them to get more sugar and corn syrup. I want them to get good honey, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I bring it up, though, this. If all the farmers were as allergic to animals and environmental things as the average modern city dweller is today, we'd never be able to have a farm, period. And so, you know what? Living close to the earth, eating local foods and vegetables and fruits and, you know, honey and having local meat and all that, I'm telling you, there's something about your immune system that makes it to where you can handle those environmental issues in your area. And when you don't get any of that, you live indoors all the time, and then you get food from all these different locales, you don't build up those natural amenities, and that you don't have the acclimation. I don't know if that's the right word, but for some of these things. And so you take the average city dweller and take them out to a farm, and they'll just, their allergies will just go berserk. They won't be able to be near the horses, or they'll just, you know, melt down. Pretty soon they'll have to take drugs to go ahead and, okay, farmers don't have to do that because they're used to that. And so all I'm trying to get across is there is something to that, and how far you can take that point in which foods and stuff, I'm not so sure. Maybe we got to do some more scientific research on it. But all I'm telling you is there's something to it for sure. All right, looking for food trucks near you or that concept? In Utah, thefoodtruckleague.com. Again, I don't get a penny for that promo. I'm just telling you, it's pretty neat. Local vendor ideas, peddlers of yesteryear, brought forward in modern times just for you. And I think it has legs for the future in small business, folks. And I bring it to your attention for those reasons. All right, India holding up imports of U.S. products made in China. Kurt, this kind of highlights a little more on the point, does it not?
Well, I think it does, Sam. And in this case, the folks in India are a little bit, they're kind of ticked off at the whole deal. And, you know, we've seen this where the Chinese have said to Australia or, you know, these different places that rely on them to supply them, they've said stuff like, hey, man, if you guys get smart with us, we'll quit supplying you. And once again, I think that's a good reason to have things done, you know, locally where you are, don't you think? When I think of this, you know, story about the India story, I'm looking at more details about it. But the bottom line is those people were a little ticked off about the Chinese kind of threatening them, saying, we'll cut you off if you don't, you know,
that wouldn't happen if you were doing these local peddlers, would it, Kurt?
I don't think so.
All right, Greg's saying we're off the air. But when I test, we're on the air, Kurt. Do you want to chime in on that real quick? Hi, Greg.
Nice of him to give
Hi,
us
Hi, Sam. Yeah, I'm listening to the radio station on the phone. Kurt set me up, and
so, Kurt, is he listening to the app, the Living Liberty Lab, to the Liberty News Radio? You know, are we talking about a dial-in line? I'm bringing this up because everybody tells me once in a while we're off the air, and we're, like, on the air 96 ways from Sunday, and it's really hard to track down. And so I'm bringing this up. Kurt, how is he set up?
You know how when you go to the thing and you can just click on it online? So I'm sure he's not listening, you know, on the call in, or the listen lines. I'll check that. Patty says you're on the air. I can hear Greg, she says. So she must be able to hear
it. So I'm going to libertynewsradio.com with my web browser right now.
Yeah.
And I got to click on the player here. Right? You can click on that too, Kurt. Listen live.
Patty says you're on the air. I can hear the listen lines.
Can you guys hear that through my microphone? Okay.
Yeah, I can hear that. And I can hear the listen lines on mine. You might just, I don't know.
So anyway, there you go. All I'm telling you is I'm not sure when people,
Greg.
When people
Thanks
tell
for
me
the
that.
Report, though.
When people tell me that, though, I'm not sure exactly where to look a lot of the times because when I go to places, it's working. You know? And I appreciate the reports and that kind of stuff. But what I really want to teach people to do, and the reason I had Greg on about that, is because I want to show people a little bit about how we check it out. You know, we don't just ignore you. I don't want you to think we ignore you. And we're not saying your reports aren't valid. And we're not suggesting they're not important. They are. They're valid, they're important, and we appreciate the feedback. But what I also want to do is teach people kind of how to confirm, you know, maybe what they do is they call a neighbor, or maybe they restart their browser, or maybe they check another way to listen. So what's the number, Kurt? 64174 or 741, what is it? Do you have it handy? I'll have to look that up. 641-741.
Yeah, just a sec, I'll grab it for you.
Anyway, you can call that number and say, hey, is that on the air?
641-741-2540 is the one I
use. So if you listen to that, it's another way to kind of confirm. Maybe you call a neighbor. Maybe you check. I mean, there's a bunch of ways to listen. For example, you can go to the lovingliberty.net website. They have a stream there as well you can click on and listen to. They've got an online app you can download for your iPhone and for your Android phone, and you can listen that way. And I guess what I'm saying is just, hey, check out multiple ways, and the more input people can give us and the more intel, the better we can respond. We've got this massive staff right now.
Yes.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no voter fraud.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. Then you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right. So anyway, I hope I didn't offend or make Greg feel bad or whatever. And, you know, the reason that I bring this up and kind of highlight this and do this on the radio is I want people to understand that, you know, when you say you're off the air, I appreciate that feedback, but it's really hard to track down. There are so many entities that take this radio program. It's surprising, in fact. We've got several AM/FM radio stations across the country. And if you're listening to one of those stations and it's off the air, it might be a local or a station issue. On the other hand, if you listen online, you know what? There's a bunch of online locations that take our show as well. Liberty News Radio, Loving Liberty Radio Network. Those are just two of them, for instance. We've both got streams. It's possible that a Liberty News Radio stream is down, but a Loving Liberty stream is up, or vice versa. Or you can listen online via the website with your phone. You can just go to the website and click play, and it'll play. That's live. Or you can download the LovingLiberty.net apps, and you can listen on one of those apps. And, you know, so it could be that an app is off, but the live player works, or the live player's off, but the app works. Or you can actually dial in with the phone numbers we gave you, unlimited listen lines. Are they not working? And so my real point for all this is to teach people how to help us kind of troubleshoot this, because, as I joked, we have this massive staff. Here's what's happening. You got Sam Bushman, who's the chief engineer for the radio networks, okay? And you've got me as your talk show host right now. You've also got me running the board. You've also got me taking the calls. You've also got me doing the talking. You've also got me writing the show notes. Okay, it's as a result, it gets a little crazy. And I don't mind, and I appreciate the calls, and I appreciate any feedback we get. Don't misunderstand the point at all. But the more our listeners can be savvy and kind of learn to be engineers on their own a little bit and kind of track it down and go, Sam, I'm listening via, you know, Liberty News Radio to the live player on the website. That's very helpful to know. Or, Sam, I'm listening to the dial-in line, and here's the number that I'm using. Or, hey, you know what? I thought I was off the air, but I checked with a neighbor or a friend or somebody else, and they tested it, and it works for them. What's up with me? Or, you know what? I'm listening to a radio station in Tennessee, and so, by golly, make sure that it's not the Tennessee radio station that's off. If it is, you can tell me, Sam, the Tennessee radio station's off or whatever, and we can go look at that. And so any guidance and help you can give us would be so appreciated. We're just, look, to run the radio network, we've got very, very few people. We run two different radio networks, literally shows 24/7. It's like a farm, because you got to be available all the time to fix it and to take care of it. And anyway, and so you've got Sam part-time, you got Brian part-time, and then you've got a few people that help us on the talk shows and stuff. But then you've got, you know, my daughter's in accounting and kind of my executive assistant. I got a couple of other radio people that are engineers that watch the streams and upload shows and do things that are seriously, seriously part-time. You might make a person and a half total that run both networks in terms of man hours. And as a result, especially when I'm on the air, it's rough. Because, man, it's hard for me to reset a device or to follow up on this or to do that and be live. And just so you know, I got a call in about the radio station being off the air, and it turns out that it was on the air. So I'm checking that out and talking to Kurt and queuing up his next story and talking about local farming and looking up the word peddler because I couldn't remember the word. And while that's going on, I get a phone call from my day job, and they're like, hey, you know, I'm sorry to not get back to you yesterday. We're supposed to work on this. And so I'm working behind the scenes on an inventory issue for a client. That's all happening all at the same time while I'm running the board, doing the talking, taking the show notes. You know, hey, I mean, I feel like a, can you say this in modern day care that you feel like a one-armed paper hanger? Or is that super, like, offensive?
Yeah, that was
Oh, man, I just went back to my evil ways. I'm so sorry. I don't know how to articulate the point that I'm just, it's a struggle. Whenever one thing, you know, it's like trying to put a balloon in a bottle. You know, we try to push one side in, the other side pops out. And, you know, it's like that a lot with our day. But you know what? We love the sacred cause of liberty so much that we're going to do the very best we can for the cause. And don't misunderstand me. I'm extremely grateful for all the feedback that we get. This is not about chastising someone or making someone feel bad. It is about really giving you a little bit of a glimpse behind the scenes of what really happens. And then ways that you can be part of the solution. That's what we do on this program, I guess, huh, Kurt? All right. New Zealand gun crime in the news, and then a follow-up story in Chicago. Kurt?
Very good, Sam. Yeah, I guess New Zealand's got pretty, I guess you could call it cramped down gun control or gun laws or whatever. I didn't know that much about New Zealand. We do get some honey from New Zealand.
Gun control.
Yeah, we do get some honey from New Zealand called the Manuka honey. But anyway, in this court case, Western Journal brings us the piece. Says New Zealand gun crime hits 10-year high after strict gun confiscation. Huh. Maybe the guys never read that book about it from our buddies that says more guns, less crime. But anyway... Yeah,
good point. But you know what? That's not any an anomaly, Kurt. That's a reality check, as the book you bring up points out. But now the headline says this, and I want to know where all the rioters are and all the, you know, Black Lives Matter and all the Antifa and everybody else are on this. It seems to be silence.
Yeah.
Is golden. Okay. But here's the headline. Three children killed in weekend Chicago shootings, including a 10-year-old hit by a stray bullet sitting in their apartment, to a 1-year-old hit to riding in a car, to a 17-year-old hit. The shooting is out of control in Chicago, and no one seems to mind, Kurt. Anyway, there's a big article about it. And anyway, they have a headline of Lake Michigan seen behind the skyline. Weekend shootings across Chicago left three children dead. Now listen carefully to this, folks. They have at least 10 shooting fatalities since Friday alone in Chicago, which follow a, quote, deadly Father's Day weekend. And there's fresh concerns about a violent summer ahead. It's out of control, they say, where even innocent children are losing their lives, Kurt. They are now calling for, quote, federal intervention, while a state legislator is setting up a task force to deal with these issues. I don't know how to respond to this article, but they say, I am tired of burying our children. And then here's what they say, Kurt. They say, you know what the cause is? They say the cause is poverty.
Okay. All right.
More than 100 people were shot. 14 people are dead, Kurt, for the weekend. And they say the cause, Kurt, is poverty. Do you agree with this?
I think the cause is out of control government that's, you know, basically you got socialists and communists that are running that city, I think. But
I don't think we need federal intervention, folks, like they're calling for at all. And I don't believe the problem is poverty. Okay, I do agree it's out of control where innocent children are losing their lives, and I would point to two issues. Ready? I agree with the out-of-control government point that Kurt's making, but I would say the two core issues are, one, you got gun control there. So let me say this again. More guns, less crime, Kurt? I'm telling you that if they get rid of the gun control, it would solve a lot of the problems. Because when you start shooting at somebody, buddy, they might just shoot back. Pretty soon it's like, maybe I don't not shoot because I don't want them to shoot back. Idea. Okay, but that's fundamental. Less government, more guns. But take it to the core, shall we? The real issue here, folks, is people are not raised with fathers in the home, and people are not raised to believe in God. And the commandments, the great commandments, thou shalt not kill. Okay, people aren't taught that from the cradle. And if there was fathers in the home and a religious sentiment in our society, that would change. And you're not going to solve it by, oh, by golly, there's poverty. Give them cash. Okay, you're not going to solve it by any of those things. The way you're going to solve it is teach people to believe in Christ. Teach people to follow the Prince of Peace. I'm telling you, Kurt, there is no other way. Okay, I agree we need less government. I agree we need more guns, all that. But you know what? Look, you can't have broken homes and expect people to do well. They go to the gang for leadership and manlyhood or whatever you want to say, and that's the wrong place to go. What you need is dad of the home to say, no, son, you're not going out tonight. You're just not doing that. It's a Father's Day. We're going to stay home together as a family. And you know what? It's dangerous out there, my friend. Anyway, but where are the rioters and the people when three children are killed? That matters a whole lot more to me than this dead criminal, George whatever. Now, I'm not saying George's life doesn't matter, but what I'm saying is, can you compare that to three innocent children? Can you compare that to over 100 people being shot in one weekend in Chicago on Father's Day, no less? A day that you should celebrate family and the giver of life of your family? All right, final story, Tulsa Arena. I guess they sabotaged the Trump rally. They had placed stickers on every other seat to reduce attendance, Kurt. Then the mainstream press came back and said, oh, there's nobody attending. What the heck?
Yeah, this is stuff that I didn't know much about. It's a story later from the WorldNet Daily Boys digging deeper. And something called Armstrong Economics gave a report. They claimed that early in the day on Saturday, this is in Oklahoma there, Tulsa, where the center staff had placed stickers on every other seat in the arena, barring use thereby cutting in half the attendance at the 19,199 seat arena. The report was not corroborated until later, when Billboard and Washington Post respectively reported on the stickers and the pushback by the Trump campaign that had campaign workers peeling the stickers off the seats right before the rally. The other allegations of sabotage made by the attendee are that the center, their temperature screeners were pulled off the job hours early, thereby making it impossible for rally attendees to get the green wristbands needed to advance to the Secret Service metal detectors for entry into the arena and the overflow stage area for the Trump and Pence speeches. That cleared the attendees were only allowed inside the arena in groups of 100 at a time.
Well, and this is where you can debate whether they should be spread out in distance. You can agree with the campaign or not on that if you choose. Fine. What you can't do is set up this every other sticker plan, run news bits all several weeks ahead and just tell you how nobody should attend, and then making people believe they can't attend or they can't sit there. And then on the end of it, run around and go, oh, man, Donald Trump had the worst attendance ever. Okay, it's just dishonest as all get out, folks. Okay? Now, I don't think that they should have put the stickers on every other seat. I understand the social distancing. A lot of this is up for debate in America. But you can't have it one way. You can't sabotage it every way possible and then use that against President Trump like nobody's interested in the president anymore. That's just dishonest. We highlighted the dishonesty with how many people were watching it on TV earlier and in the media. They broke Fox records to make the point. But they're just dishonest in their reporting. And Liberty Roundtable Live caught him at it again, huh, Kurt?
Good point, Sam.
Isn't that the bottom line here?
Yeah. The truth shall make you free.
Amen to that. All right. For Sam and Kurt, thanks for being alongside for the ride. Notes and archives available at lovingliberty.net. Spread the word. Live radio, on-demand radio. Donate today. And God save the Republic.